Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am beginning my second week of teaching on how to find God's will. And as I've said before, this is actually just a part of three different teachings I'm doing. One is entitled, How to Find God's Will. The second one is How to Follow God's Will. The third one is How to Fulfill God's Will. Some of you, if you haven't given much thought to this, might think that I'm kind of, teaching the same thing all the way through. Well, it's all related to God's will, but there is a huge difference between finding God's will and then following it. There's a lot of people that miss it in that second step. And then there's a fulfilling of God's will. And each one of these is different and yet related. And I've put them all together in our package that we're going to put out. There's actually going to be a total of 15 different CDs on this. Each album contains five teachings on how to find, how to follow, and how to fulfill God's will. Last week I started teaching on how to find God's will. We're now into the second teaching, and the second teaching in this first part is it's never too late. Talking about how that even if you feel that you've messed up, that you haven't found God's will, that you've done something different, some people get discouraged and think, well, it's too late now. And I've been using some examples. I've already used Moses as an example, that he was 80 years old when he first started really accomplishing God's will, and God used him mightily. And on our program yesterday, I used 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 13 and 14, to show that Saul, when he disobeyed God and offered a sacrifice, stepped out of being a king and tried to act like a priest, that God rebuked him through the prophet Samuel. And God said that if you had followed me and obeyed me today, I would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. What this means is that there wouldn't have been a David who was king of Israel. Saul would have been the king of Israel. Not only him, but his children would have ruled over Israel forever. So David wasn't God's first choice. David wasn't God's plan A. David was plan B. And yet, look how great God used David. The reason I share this is because when you start talking about God has a predetermined plan for your life. He doesn't force it on you. You have to cooperate. But it is predetermined, as I've already used these verses, Psalms 139, verses 14 through 70, Galatians 1:15, Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. I've already shown those things and applied that. And when people see this, they think, oh no, I missed God's will. And they think, so therefore it's like you break something and it can't be fixed. You've made a wrong turn and you just can't get back on track. Well, I'm telling you, God is at least as good as a GPS device that says recalculating and puts you back on the right track. God can recalculate from where you are to where He wants you to be. And He can accomplish His will so wonderfully in your life. I don't care how long you've messed it up. God can redeem however big a mess we've made so that you look back and think, God, I can't imagine how my life could have been any better. I'm saying that to encourage you because some of you just, you know that you've missed God. You remember when God was leading you in one direction and you just chose, no, I'm going to go the other direction. And you feel like, well, I've blown it. I missed my chance. No, God's not that kind of a God. It says in Romans chapter 11, verse 29, that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God never changes. God never takes it back. If God called you to do something, it's still God's call on your life. It's still there. I talked to a man just a week or so ago who was telling me that for the last 2 or 3 years, his life had just gone downhill. His finances had crashed. His health had crashed. He was discouraged. He says he feels like God moved and didn't leave a forwarding address. He's prayed. He's done everything. He's a born-again, Spirit-filled believer. He loves God. But he says just everything in his life is going wrong. So I began to start talking to him. And as we talked, he says, I really feel about 2 years ago that God told me to quit what I was doing and to go do something else. And I said, so what did you do? And he says, well, he says, right after I felt like that was God's leading, the economy turned around, my business began to prosper, it looked like everything was good. And he says, so I just kept going in the direction I was going. And I said, that right there is the reason you feel like God moved and didn't leave a forwarding address. God is right back there in the same place he was when he told you to take this right-hand turn. And I said, all you got to do is just go back. What did he tell you to do? Go back and do it. And he says, but it's 2 years later. Don't you think I've messed it up? I said, no, God's right where you left him. Right where you got out of the car, God's still there, amen. He's waiting on you. God's gifts and purpose callings for your life are without repentance. And so I use this example to show that if Saul would have obeyed God, his kingdom would have ruled over Israel forever. There never would have been a David. And yet, look how good things turned out with David. We don't have the ability of God to see what would have been, could have been, should have been. We can't really go there. I believe in heaven we'll probably be able to see some of these things. But you know, with our limited, finite minds, we look at this and see how God used David and he killed Goliath. And David did all of these miraculous exploits. He expanded the nation of Israel to its greatest length that it ever had. And he just established the kingdom. He laid up all of this gold and silver and stones and stuff for the building of the temple. And we look at all of the awesome things that happened and we think, God, how could it have been any better? Now, the reason I bring all this up is to say, see what God can do with plan B. Maybe your life didn't go the way God intended, but God can get you back on track. And I also want you to see another thing in the life of David. After David came on the scene and after David replaced Saul and David took over the kingdom, David followed God for many, many years. And he did it, you know, from the scriptural perspective, he did it nearly flawlessly. And everything worked good until he had this incident with Bathsheba. And look at this. In 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and the servants and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besiege Rabab, but David himself tarried still at Jerusalem. Now, there's a lot of things in this verse. I'm going to come back to this later in this series about how to find, fulfill, and follow God's will. So I won't spend a lot of time on it, but let me just point out that it says that this was the time when kings go forth to battle. In other words, back in those days when they didn't have the technology and all of the advantages that we have today, you just couldn't wage war in the midst of winter and things like this. And so there was a time that kings went out and they fought their battles. It was time for battles to be fought. And if you were to go back into the previous chapter, David had a real legitimate gripe against these children of Ammon because they had humiliated his servants and had just come out against him, and they were doing him some damage. And so it was time to fight. And it says when kings go forth to battle, and yet where was David? David wasn't leading the armies as he had every single instance before that we find in Scripture. In other words, here's the point I'm trying to make. David was anointed to be king and to fight the battles and defend the nation of Israel, and David was not doing what he was anointed to do. He stayed back. He had become so prosperous. He had been so victorious that now he was at a place that he didn't have to go and fight his own battles. He could send his generals out and get it done, and David didn't have to do it. He wasn't doing what he was anointed to do. In other words, he was so prosperous, now so successful, that he didn't have to depend upon God and do things personally. He could delegate it to other people and not run the risk to himself. And here's a point that I'll make a major deal of later in this teaching. But did you know that you are your most vulnerable when everything is going good? Most people think that you are really your most vulnerable when you're under pressure and you've had some attack against you. That's really not true. What really shows your weaknesses is not hardship, but prosperity. During adversity, even people with minimal commitment to God will seek God because they know that they're in trouble and this is bigger than them and they need help and they'll seek God. But when everything is going good, when you're prosperous, is when most people begin to start not depending upon God. They get to where they do things their own way. And this is what happened to David. He was the king. He should have been out fighting a battle, and yet he was at home. And in verse 2, it says, "And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose off of his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and that woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and through messengers had Bathsheba brought, and he committed adultery with her." And we'll talk some more about that. But let me point out again in the second verse, it says, "At evening he arose up off of his bed." Now here's another insight into David. And that is that if you are just getting out of bed when the sun goes down, what does that mean? That means that during the day, the most productive part of the day that a king should have been ruling and dealing with people and taking care of all the things that kings take care of, David was sleeping. David was sleeping all day. He wasn't doing what God called him to do. He wasn't leading the armies. He was bored, and he was sleeping during the day and getting up at the time that other people are ready to go to bed. I tell you, here is another great insight, and that is that, you know what, you need to be busy about what God called you to do. You know, we've got this old saying that some people think is scripture. It's not, but it really is kind of a scriptural principle, and that is that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. You don't need to be bored. You need to be occupied, and you can only be effectively, fruitfully occupied when you know what God's will is, and then you do it. David was anointed by God to be king. He should have been out leading this battle and doing what God told him to do. Instead, he was staying home. He was bored stiff. He was sleeping all day and carousing at night, and he got himself into trouble. And it wouldn't have ever happened if he had just been doing what God told him to do. And anyway, I'm going to come back to this story, so I won't go into all of it right now. But David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then when Bathsheba let him know that she was pregnant, David sent for Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, who was one of his soldiers that was fighting his battles that he should have been leading him, but he wasn't. And he sent for Uriah to come home. So Uriah came back, talked to the king, and the king sent some food and things with him to go home with Uriah. And the plan was that Uriah would go in and have relationships with Bathsheba. And then when Bathsheba had this child, everybody would think that it was Uriah's because he was home on leave during this time. But Uriah was such a faithful man to God and to his king and to his comrades that were in the field. He just said, "How could I go home and indulge myself and have a relationship with my wife when all of my friends are still back there fighting?" You know, some people, this is hard for you to understand, but I remember when I was in Vietnam and I got an emergency leave to come home because this girl that I was unofficially engaged with was dying, and I got to come home. Even though I was excited to come home and to be with her and to be with other people, I actually felt guilty that I was assigned over there and there was going to be people, maybe somebody who took my place who might be killed. And you know what? I felt guilty and I felt a responsibility to get back to them just as quickly as I can. Some of you may not understand that, but people that have been in the military will understand what I'm talking about. And this is what Uriah was feeling. And because of it, Uriah didn't go home and have relation with Bathsheba. Instead, he slept at the door of the king's palace. And when David heard about it, he called him in and he says, "Why didn't you go home?" And he explained. He says, "The Ark of the Covenant and Joab, the general, and all of my comrades are fighting. And should I go home and enjoy my wife and feast when my responsibility is out there?" He says, "No, I'm committed to God." So David, he got him drunk. He made him drink until he got drunk, thinking that when he got drunk, his logic would cease to work and he'd go home and he'd have this excuse to blame this child on Uriah. But Uriah, even when he was drunk, had more integrity than David had, and he wouldn't go home. And so finally, David sent a message by Uriah, and in this message told Joab, the general, to put Uriah in the forefront of a battle in a place where it was very dangerous and then have all of the other soldiers withdraw from him so that he would be guaranteed to be killed. In other words, David sent Uriah's own death sentence by his hand, and David knew that Uriah was such a man of integrity that even though he was carrying this note, he would never look at it, and he would be faithful. And David trusted him so much that he put his own death sentence in his hand and had him deliver it to Joab, the general. And sure enough, he did that. And Uriah died. And then David took Bathsheba to be his wife, thinking that everything was cool. But look at the last verse of this 11th chapter. It says in verse 27, "And when the morning was past," this is the mourning of Bathsheba for her husband Uriah, "David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." Boy, that's putting it mildly. God was really upset over this. David, the reason I'm bringing all of this up is I showed how that David wasn't God's plan A. David was God's plan B, and yet David, God used him so miraculously, and we showed how that he rose up and actually took over a mantle that should have gone to Saul and to his descendants. And yet David did it so well that you wonder how Saul and Jonathan could have been any better than the plan that God used with David. And then, even after David took over the kingdom, David disappointed God big time right here. This is major. David committed adultery and then murdered to cover up his adultery. There's no way to whitewash this. This was terrible. This was very bad. God was displeased. And again, that's putting it mildly. And yet, God confronted David on this. David repented. And God went on to use David and made all of these promises. And it was after this time that God promised David some of the great things that we still see come into pass today. So I'm saying all of these things to bring out this point that, you know what, some of you, when I talk about that God has a purpose for your life, you just think, well, I've blown it. I missed it. It's too late. I can't fulfill it now. Look at David. David missed it bigger than any of you have ever missed it. And yet God was able to recover him. Now, David went through a lot of things that were punishments and judgments on his sin. But in the new covenant, God placed all of our judgment upon Jesus. And you don't have to have the same judgment from God. Now, there still are consequences to us disobeying God. I'm not saying that sin is without consequence. But the punishment for our sin from God was placed on Jesus. And you aren't going to be punished even if you sinned. Now, again, that does not mean that there aren't consequences. You can cause yourself grief, and there are consequences to us disobeying God. But God's wrath was placed on Jesus, and we will not suffer the wrath of God the way that David did. But we can still take heart from the fact that even under an old covenant where sins were imputed unto people, God was able to redeem David from this situation, and God was able to use him big time. If God can do that with David under an inferior covenant, and we've got a better covenant where Jesus has already wiped away all of our sins, past, present, and even future sins are dealt with. We've got this better covenant. God can redeem you from whatever mess you've got into. It may not be the way that you envisioned it. The way you saw things may not have been clear. Maybe it's going to be somewhat different, but God can turn your life around and make it so good that it'll be hard for you to figure how it could have been any better. And David is an example of that. David went on and he called himself at the very end of his life. He says, "I am the sweet psalmist of Israel." This is a man who had committed adultery and then murdered to cover up that adultery. Because of this, his own children committed incest with one of his boys, Amnon, with his sister, Tamar, and that caused Absalom to get mad and kill Amnon, his brother. And then Absalom rebelled at David and had civil war, and tens of thousands of people were killed, and Absalom eventually was killed. All of this tragedy happened because of David's disobedience and sin. And yet David was able to recover and at the end of his life talk about being the sweet psalmist of Israel, have a good opinion of himself, not because he had done everything right, but because God was so good. And he was able to be positive, and God went on and blessed him. And here we are thousands of years later talking about how God used David. And David never was God's first choice. David messed up big time in his own life, and yet God was still able to use him. I don't know if you've paid attention to what I've said today, but I tell you, if you have opened up your heart, the Holy Spirit could take these truths to show you some things and to build hope on the inside of you that regardless of how far you've fallen, regardless of how far off track you've gotten, God still has a plan for your life. Again, I refer to Romans chapter 11, verse 29, that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Whatever God's plan for your life was, it still is. I don't care how much you've messed it up. Maybe there's going to have to be some adjustments. Maybe you'll have to administer things differently than what God originally planned. But God can recalculate. God can get you back on track. And God can make the remaining years of your life so fruitful and so blessed if you'll just respond to Him, that you'll wonder how it could have ever been any better. I really believe that. And I just want to encourage you with that today. I know that some of you have been discouraged thinking about the fact that you've missed God, but it's never too late. God can use you. You know, I just want to encourage you that we have people standing by at our phones, and they're there to take your orders and to give you all of these materials that we're offering, and I encourage you to get them. But there's some of you today that God has touched your heart, and it's like you thought that a fire had gone out on the inside of you because you just messed up things so bad. There's somebody watching this program that you've just been thinking about, man, you're ready to die and go on and get into heaven because you've ruined this life. It's over. And God is speaking to you today that that's not true. And so I'd like to encourage you to call that number that you see on your screen and not only ask for the materials that I'm offering, but there are godly people there that God has really anointed. And if you would just tell them that, you know what, again today, you're going to pick yourself up and you're going to recalculate and get back on track. And you just want somebody to pray that God's will come to pass in your life. These people could pray with you. And I believe it could make a huge difference in your life. And I really believe that God is speaking directly to many, many people right now, that this is going to be a defining moment, a life-changing moment for you, that you'll never be the same again. And I want to encourage you to do something. Instead of just making these decisions in your heart, the Bible says faith without works is dead. You got to do something. Call that number. Get the materials, but also get prayer and just do something. Tell somebody that, praise God, you are going to get back on track. And I believe it's going to make a difference. So please call that number that you see on your screen. Get the materials, ask for prayer, and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Find God's Will, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order. The second audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD titled, It's Never Too Late, free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled, God Wants You Well, for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar this week, July 15th through the 17th, in Durant, Oklahoma, July 28th through the 30th, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 12th through the 14th. He'll also be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting, September 12th through the 17th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 18th through the 19th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 4th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
There's more than just classroom activity at Caris Bible College. Students at CBC participate in hands-on ministry, like corresponding with prison inmates who want to learn more about relationship with God.
We're required to minister to other people, to basically give out what's been put in us.
And we just have many hungry prisoners that want to learn the Word of God.
It's a volunteer program, and I volunteer and write letters to prisoners.
It's really touched me because everyone needs to know what Christ has done for them and how that changes their life.
This ministry is changing lives every day.
Invest yourself in Caris Bible College today. For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
Before you were born, God already had recorded and written in a book all of the things that were ordained by Him for your life. And you know, this is just radically different than the way most people live their lives. Most people just let circumstances dictate. In a sense, you could relate the way most people find God's will or the purpose for their life to a pinball machine.